Who can tell me what kvetching means? Complaining. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the Yiddish word for complaining. It's a good word. Yiddish is a good language because it's very expressive, you know, and this is a classic one, kvetching. And in fact, what's interesting is that most of the portion that is read today, which Ed began the portion with today, goes on for about 4 or 5 chapters, is actually, a lot of it is about kvetching. It's kind of funny. But what's interesting is that the portion actually begins on a high point, and then it kind of degrades to a low point. So let's look at the high point. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 9, and let's see how it begins. Numbers chapter 9, beginning in verse 15. It says this: "On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. And from evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud, the cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. And when the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out." And so you see here right at the beginning, near the beginning of this portion, the Lord is very present in Israel, among the community. The people are obedient, that whenever the Lord wants the people to be moving forward, because they're right now, they're in a process going from Egypt to the promised land. They've only been out of Egypt for just a couple of months. And the Lord's presence is there, and he's guiding them. And when he wants them to leave the camp, his presence lifts and moves, and they follow the cloud. And so the Lord is very present here. It's a very exciting time. And then you come to Numbers 10, verse 33. Let's look at this, another high point. Numbers 10, 33. It says, "Whenever the ark set out," this is, in other words, what would happen is the glory cloud, or the Shekinah glory, would lift and would move, and then they would lift the ark and move it out with the Shekinah glory, the glory cloud. It says, "Whenever the ark set out, Moses said, 'Rise up, O Lord, may your enemies be scattered, may your foes flee before you.' Whenever it came to rest, he said, 'Return, O Lord, to the countless thousands of Israel.'" And what's interesting, of course, this is what we say when we carry the Torah, even here, and it's said in all the synagogues around the world during the time that the Torah is processed. You say, when the Torah is lifted up, "Rise up, O Lord, and may your enemies be scattered, may your foes flee from before you." And what this is all about is that the Israelites had a mission that they were in process to accomplish. Their mission was to establish God's kingdom on earth. And Moses proclaims God's presence here in this, what we just read, that whenever the presence of the Lord is lifted up, the enemies of God must flee. Because as the kingdom of God is established, the enemies of God flee from his presence. You either surrender to the Lord or you flee from his presence. That is the only real options that are left. But then we come to Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Let's look at it. Numbers 11, 1. "Now the people kvetched," right, "about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused." Now, I want you to repeat this statement with me. Just say this: God's promises are rarely obtained without a battle. Say that. God's promises are rarely obtained without a battle. You see, here's the problem. The Israelites, they'd come through all this exciting stuff, coming out of Egypt, all these great miracles, and they figured, okay, man, we're just going to ride the wave right into the land of Israel. Just, shoo, right in, and we got it. No more hardships. Hello to reality, right? You know, it's like, wake up, folks. It's not quite so easy. And so what happens is, you know, the presence of the Lord is in the community, and they're saying the enemies be scattered, but then all of a sudden, people start complaining. What's the problem here? They're bummed out. All they have is manna to eat. That's what bums them out here in the beginning. And so, But the problem is God's promises are rarely obtained without a battle. But here's the problem. The battle is more often than not within us, and it's not on the outside. You see, we worry, we think, when we read the scriptures, that God's enemies are on the outside. But often, more often than not, we're fighting our own enemies from within. It's our own doubts and fears and all these other kinds of things that are going on. And so the scripture says that whenever the ark set out, the presence of the Lord would lift, and Moses would cry out, "Rise up, O Lord, may your enemies be scattered." But the problem was not with the external enemies of the Lord, but it was with the internal enemies within the hearts of the community of those who follow the Lord. You see, Yeshua said this, "A kingdom divided against itself will not be able to stand." He also said this, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the community. And you see, the promises of God are this, is that we don't have to worry about the outside because God has already given us the victory. The scripture makes it clear that the kingdom of God is always advancing. And the only issue is whether you're going to advance with the kingdom or not. That's real simple, okay? Because the kingdom of God is always advancing. So the issue is really to you and me whether we're going to join in. You see, but what happens is that if the community turns in on itself and begins to complain and kvetch and everything, then it starts to lose its power, the presence of the Lord, and all of a sudden the enemies take over. And that's what really happens. Now, let's look at what happens next, because the destruction from within can be devastating. So let's look at how this actually happens, and let's look at verse 4 of chapter 11. Verse 4 of chapter 11, it says, "The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, 'If only we had meat to eat.'" It's interesting that the scripture says that there was a rabble with them, started complaining. It's interesting because kvetching always starts with small groups. It always starts with one, two, three, a small group, and then it begins to spread. Now this small group, this rabble, are called the kvetchers, and the kvetchers have a theme song. It's true. It's amazing. I searched the scriptures high and low to find this theme song for the kvetchers, and amazingly, I found it in an interesting place. It kind of goes like this. See if I can get it right. "What looks good, I see as bad. When you're happy, I am sad. The more you do will never be enough, because I enjoy being in a huff. What looks good, I see as bad. When you're happy, I am sad. The more you do will never be enough, because I enjoy being in a huff." You see? That's the Kvetcher's theme song. It's in the book of Kvetching, which amazingly runs throughout the entire scriptures. It's incredible. It's just interlooped all through the scriptures. Now, the question, though, is this. What does the rabble say to get everybody kvetching? And let's look in verses 4 through 6 here of chapter 11, and let's see what they say. It says, "The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, 'If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, the melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna.'" Well, I really enjoy verse 5 here of this one. Verse 5 says this, "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost." Now, we call this in academic circles, we call this revisionist history. You see, in other words, it's the rewriting of history. Because when you read the scriptures, it doesn't seem like everybody was real happy in Egypt. In fact, when everybody was in Egypt, they weren't praising the Egyptians for getting fish at no cost. Rather, they were crying out. They were saying that, "We were suffering, Lord, deliver us." Instead, they were crying out to the Lord for years and years. And the Lord heard their suffering, and he came them with tremendous deliverance. And what does this show? This shows that kvetchers are never happy. Say that with me. Kvetchers are never happy. You see, but here's the real problem. Kvetching is a cancer. That's the problem. If it was just an isolated incident, where people just kvetch and that's it. No problem. But because it's a cancer, it becomes a horrible situation. It always is spreading. And let's look at what happens. Verse 10, same chapter. Notice what it says. It says, Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. And the Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. Man, what a change. You know, first, here they came out of Egypt. Everybody's rejoicing. Everybody's singing and dancing. Next thing you know, a few hardships. Small group starts kvetching. Boom, now everybody's wailing. Everybody. That's what it says. Every family was wailing. Out to the Lord. Now, were the conditions in the wilderness great? No, they weren't great, okay? I mean, they had to eat this manna, which in Hebrew is manna, which means what is it? Because it was indescribable. And yeah, day after day, week after week, you know, get a little boring. You know, I mean, unless it was coffee, ice cream or something, you know, but obviously it would have melted faster than the manna melted. So, you know, it gets a little boring after a few months eating the same thing. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a bummer. Okay, I can see them wanting something else. And, yeah, they were in tents. They had been in brick homes and so on in Egypt. Now they're in tents. That's a little bit of a bummer, too. And then occasionally the Lord's presence would lift and they'd have to move and everybody have to, you know, quickly gather up their belongings and put their tents together and start moving. So it wasn't great. Okay, we acknowledge that. But, you see, the people knew that this was only temporary. You see, this was not the 40 years, folks. We haven't gotten to the 40 years yet. That's after they disobeyed the Lord. This was only a couple of months after they'd left Egypt. They were on a direct road to the promised land. They knew they were only going to be here for a few months in these tents. That's it. And they had just come out of bondage. They had just witnessed phenomenal miracles. And there was a promise to them that there was a land awaiting them that was flowing with milk and honey. That's what they were looking forward to. But I want you to repeat this with me. Say this: God's promises are rarely obtained without a battle. Say it. God's promises are rarely obtained without a battle. You see, that was the problem. A few little hardships. That's all they were enduring. And yeah. It just starts off already. Now, begins the consequences of complaining. You see, we laugh because we all do it. But you see, complaining is looked upon very seriously in the scriptures. And let's look in verse 18. Verse 18, chapter 11, and see what happens. He says, tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it because you rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wailed before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? You see, here's the problem, is that God may very well just give you what you ask for and what you kvetch for, you see? And that is a tragedy. Because if you keep kvetching and kvetching to the Lord and to other people, you may end up getting what it is you're asking, and that's not good. Because it may end up harming you and not helping you. See, the psalmist says this about this particular passage we just read. He says that God granted their request, but he sent leanness into their souls. In other words, he gave them what they wanted, but then within, they suddenly realized that they were not receiving the promises of God, and they came up short. That's the problem. Some of you in here have gone through this, I'm sure, or maybe you're in this place. You're pleading for a mate. You're tired of being alone, and so on. So you're pleading. And you know what? Then what ends up happening? You're never satisfied with who you are, so you end up getting the wrong person. I've seen that happen. That's a tragedy. Or you're pleading for a job with money. You plead and plead and plead. You're not happy with what you have. You're not happy with what God has given you. So you plead and plead. So all of a sudden, God gives you something, you know, but it becomes all time consuming. And suddenly, you're under the pile and you wish you had been the way you were before. And you can go on and on and on with examples of where people are not satisfied with what God's given them. And they plead and plead and plead. And then God says, okay, I'm going to give it to you. You know, and now you can see what it's like when you're not accepting my purposes and plans for you. This is what Paul said. We read it earlier in the New Covenant reading. He said, I am content with whatever circumstances that I find myself in. Isn't that amazing? He said, I'm content when I'm hungry. I'm content when I'm full. Doesn't matter. The goal is to worship the Lord and follow him. And you see, that is the kind of attitude the Lord wants us to have. But here's the problem with kvetching. It's insatiable. It can never satisfy. And the issue for kvetchers is not whether you ever have enough. Because you know what? You never have enough. Kvetchers never have enough. There's never anything too good. Here's the problem with kvetching. It's not whether you have enough. The issue is this, is who is Lord of your life? Because the more one knows God, the less they complain. Hear me now. Why? Because it shows that when they don't complain, that the Lord is Lord of their lives. The circumstances don't matter that much anymore. What matters is that you are following the Lord and you know His presence. That's what becomes important. And so you know that God is taking you through into the promised land. And so your immediate circumstances, yes, while they may be a bummer, and yes, the Lord does want us to tell Him when we're down and out and so on, but He doesn't want us to be walking around kvetching and complaining because it shows that He is not the Lord of your life. And if you know that's you, then it just shows that Yeshua is not Lord of your life in that particular area of your life, and He wants you to trust Him for that area. But the problem in this story, and always the problem with kvetching, is that it always continues to spread because it is a cancer. And the only way to remedy cancer is to kill it. That's the only way. You can't just try to salve it over, make it feel a little bit better. You know, it's got to be killed and destroyed, and so new cells are become a substitute in their place. And that's the problem with kvetching. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. This is an amazing story, this little piece of Numbers 12. Numbers 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron begin to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord only spoken through Moses, they asked? Hasn't He also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this? You see? Moses and Aaron, the two top dogs in Israel, alongside of Moses. You see, kvetching is such a cancer that it gets to the most spiritual people as well. No one is immune from the cancer of kvetching. That's what happens. And even Miriam and Aaron, as close as they were to the Lord and to Moses, it gets them. And they begin to criticize and look for anything to which they can criticize and attack. And in this particular case, they begin to dredge up the past, Moses' past. And what was in Moses' past? He married Zipporah. Zipporah was a Cushite. She was basically either black or very dark-skinned. She was not an Israelite. And he married her when the Israelites were in bondage. And he left and went into the land of Midian. And he marries this woman who's a Cushite. And now, suddenly, Miriam and Aaron turn against her. Because they can begin to complain. They don't like that Moses has the inside track onto the Lord. And so they attack her. And what do they say? She's not one of us. That's the problem. She's not one of us. And so they use it as a means to attack Moses. Now, you see, the problem is that once cancer gets a hold of something, it goes anywhere and does anything. Just like regular physical cancer works the exact same way. Goes anywhere, does anything. Now, God's response to this is really interesting. How He responds to this attack against Moses and against his wife. And because I said, Zipporah was dark-skinned. Now, if you look in verse 10, you'll see the judgment that falls on Miriam as a consequence of this attack against Moses and Zipporah. It says this, when the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam leprous like snow. And isn't it interesting that the judgment against Miriam is whiteness against the blackness of the skin of the Cushite woman. You see, she's not like one of us because she's black. She's dark. And so what does God do? He says, okay, all right. I'll make you whiter than you've been before. And now you got leprosy. You see, and that became really serious. You see, so God used the very thing that they were attacking Zipporah and Moses with to turn it around against her very thing. That's the tragedy of this situation. You see, what happens with kvetching, once it starts, it spreads. It never just stays alone. Now, here's the conclusion of this. Because what actually happens next is the real tragedy about kvetching. And we actually don't see this until we go to the next portion, which starts next week, Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers 14. Let me just tell you, many of us know about it, but I'll just quickly rehearse what happens next week so we know exactly what happened as a result of this convention. Is that God sends, Israelites come up to the edge of the promised land. God sends the 12 spies into the promised land, right? We all remember that. And they go into the land of Canaan to spy it out. And they came back. The goal was for them to come back and to describe what they saw, to report it, and so on. And so these two chapters describe what the people saw, what they reported, and then everyone's response to the report of the Israelite spies. And the spies saw a land that was flowing with milk and honey. There was no question about it. But they also saw giants. And they reported both. They reported that, yes, this is a land that's flowing with milk and honey, but it also has giants in it. And because of the giants, I don't think we can take this land. I don't think we can go in here because the giants are too big for us to take. And as a consequence of their report, the people rebel against the Lord and they refuse to go into the land. Now, why is that the case? Why do they refuse to go in? I mean, what had happened here? Here's the issue. Really hear this. The constant kvetching by the community, day after day, week after week, month after month, had sapped their strength. That's what ended up happening. The people were accustomed to reacting to what they saw and not to the promises of God. And so then, when they came up to a major obstacle, the giants in the land, they had been so accustomed to kvetching, it had sapped their strength and their faith, and they no longer had the faith to believe the promises of God. They shrunk back, and they lost. They lost it all. All of them, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. They lost it all because they had kvetched for so long, they did not have the faith to enter into the promised land. You see, what does faith give you? Faith gives you eyes to see the impossible become possible. You see, that's what faith gives you. It lets you see beyond the circumstances. It sees through the giants and sees the land that's flowing with milk and honey. It sees all the promises of God. Yes, it sees there's giants in the land, but they don't become that big of an obstacle because God's bigger than any giant. But what happens is it takes faith to see that. And if you don't have faith, all you see is the giants. You remember the promises, but you don't have the faith to believe them anymore. And so your faith is sapped and you lose out on all that God has given to you. And so when push came to shove in this particular case, they did not have the faith to prevail, and they all lost. Here's my challenge to you. Where are you going to be? Kvetching will destroy you. It'll destroy God's purposes in your life. It'll destroy this community. You'll never make it by kvetching all the time. If you're a kvetcher, you've got to repent. That's the only way. Because God wants us to believe Him, not to complain about our current circumstance, okay? I want us to repeat once again this statement. God's promises are rarely obtained without a battle. Say it. God's promises are rarely obtained without a battle. Say it again. God's promises are rarely obtained without a battle. And you know what? You have no control over how long that battle is going to be. You see? All God wants you to do is continue fighting and not give up. And when you feel weak, you go back to the Lord and you seek Him for His strength. But you don't just start complaining, oh, I can't take it anymore. Yeah, I'm giving up. I'm walking away. Now, we've all been there at some time or another. But the Lord wants us to keep fighting. And then, suddenly, the doors will open up. And you're going to walk right on through. And you're going to see a land that's flowing with milk and honey. The promises of God are yea and amen to those who believe. You see, if you do not believe, you won't get it. That's real serious. All I can say is this as we close today, beware of kvetching. It will undermine God's promises to you, to me, and to our whole community. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Yeshua today, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that Yeshua paved the way for us, Lord. Father, he never complained. Lord, he always persevered, Lord God, and he paved the way so we could enter in. But Lord, we know that your promises are not obtained without a battle. And Lord, we're prepared to do battle, to receive all that you have for us, Lord God. Father, to believe and to believe and to believe, Lord God, no matter what it takes, Lord, and to see you through and to see you honored, Lord God, to see your name glorified on this earth, Lord. Father, we thank you for all of your promises, Lord. We thank you for your strength, Lord, that when we get down, we can call upon you and you will renew us and restore us, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you always receive us all the time, Lord God. Father, give us the faith to prevail over whatever circumstance that we're in. And Lord, help us to not kvetch ever. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.